The last couple of weeks, we were on a, really 4 weeks, we talked really about doctrine, talked about some real big Bible words, we called, if you've been with us. We talked about salvation, what it means to be saved. We talked about righteousness. We talked about redemption. And then lastly, we talked about sanctification last week, some four really big Bible words that a lot of people have differing views and maybe some confusion on what it means to be saved or what it means, what's redemption or what's sanctification. What's that all about? Does that mean a certain dress style? And we broke it down so that we could really understand it and give you and I both a biblical viewpoint of it and what the word says. So conducive to where we're at in a society. A lot, answer a lot of questions. Maybe hopefully we gave a bunch of questions at the first of every message, kind of where we're going to go. Maybe just kind of asking ourselves what are we thinking or what maybe in our back of our religious background, either we had some or didn't have some. What do those things mean? And so kind of culminating off that and coming off just, looking at in the future, where we want to go this fall. And of course, we've got the Hankins coming up, as Kimberly said, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday night. That's going to be different than a Sunday morning service, more of a Holy Spirit flow. And so it's going to be amazing. But I'm always in my own personal life looking at things, where I'm at, where we're at as a church and what we can, in the world. And we look at just recently what's happened in our country in the last really 3 weeks with Hurricane Harvey and Irma and, down south, we had a terrible earthquake in Mexico, and now they're saying that there's more storms coming off the east right now. We're just living in a time that's just a real uncertain time. And yet, like somebody said, if you're following the news, and you've probably seen as well that unrest in St. Louis this past week over a verdict, concerning a police officer that shot a man 5 times. Just, all kinds of stuff that's going on in our society is just amazing. But there's something that we have to get a hold of that we need to be a part of, that we're seeing even in the worst case of storms and the worst case of humanity, if you will, and the worst case of tragedy. We're seeing something that happened in our country, and we do on a regular basis. Really, in this country, it's amazing how this just the thing. Whenever anybody's down, somebody's really looking to help them up. People leave. People have been. We as a church gave money and still do give money to help the disasters around the world. Because if you're giving you tithe and give offerings to the church, we're able to take a part of that and pass it on through our hands because of your generosity. So come on, give yourself a hand. Thank you for that. Yeah, thank you. Just by the way, with that, we'll talk about it maybe just a little bit at the end of the service. We just receive an offering. There's an organization that we're hooked up with that we support financially because you support the church. Today, there's 27 new churches getting planted in the United States. 27. Come on, that's a pretty weak clap. Come on, 27 cities are going to be affected because you're helping us plant churches. So that's just amazing. But today I just want to talk about this word. I've been thinking about it for weeks and just said, hey, let's go for it today in light of what's happening. Here's this word. All day long, I'm going to give you one word and we'll kind of tie it into where we're going to go at the end of the service as well. And here's this word, up. Just up. I think if there's really one thing about all of our lives is that we want to do something. We want to make a difference. We want our life to be on a trajectory. We want our life to be up. I don't know anybody that wants to go through a life and say, I don't want anything to happen. I don't want anything supernatural to happen. I want to know. I don't ever want an upward trajectory. I don't think that's the case for any of us. Up points to direction. Up points to movement. Up points to something higher or farther than where you're at. I want that for my personal life. I want that for my marriage. I bet you do too. I want that if you're a single person. You want that with friendships as a married person as well. I want that in my finances. I want that in the way I lead. I want there to be an upward. Come on, I want my stock portfolio to go up. Come on, can I get an amen in the room? Come on, how many know 2008 when it was going down? You're going, Jesus, help me. You don't like, come on, that red arrow going down? No, 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 no. I want to see that black arrow going up, baby. I want to see it going up. And I believe that that's in all of us to see something change in us or something to change around us or what we're doing to increase, to move up. We want that in our church. We want that for your life spiritually. And we'll talk about all this a little bit today. Let me give you a key scripture. A lot of y'all have read it many times before, But the Apostle Paul wrote about two-thirds of the New Testament. And he says something amazing in the book of Philippians. So if you got a phone, open it up. If you got your Bible, look at it. We'll have it on the screen behind me. But in Philippians chapter 3, we're going to give just one verse here, and we'll read another verse from the book of Ephesians in a minute. But notice what it says that the Apostle Paul, writing to a church again, so remind yourself it's writing to you today, writing to me today. Here's what he says as we're just going to kind of extrapolate, if you will, this one verse out of a bunch of things he said before it and after it. So do yourself a favor. When you go home, read some before, read some after. But here's what he says. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I press toward the goal. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Well, what I found out about this is that this is not going to happen without my involvement. Can I just say it this way? Up involves you. You're not going to get anything up in your life by accident. It's going to take effort. It's going to take choices. It's going to say yes to this and no to that. It's going to position your life to do something maybe you currently aren't doing, and you'll be surprised to find yourself able to do it. Whether it's natural things that we all know about, going to school, etc., taking extra classes, you take that job you're a little bit uncertain of, or maybe, come on, you're in junior high. Come on, somebody like me, you were in junior high, and you wanted to ask that girl to dance. Come on, how many know that took a little more effort? And you're a little bit out of your comfort zone. We're not necessarily talking about all that. We're not really want to spend time talking about your my career choices or my education or things with sports that you've heard maybe this scripture read. You know, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call. And so I'm going to press through this obstacle and we're going to get a touchdown. That's really not what he's talking about. What he's talking about here is something way different than that. He's talking about this last part of this phrase, this upward call of God, but notice the caveat there, in Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus. So ever who Jesus was and whatever Jesus was all about, that's what God wants your and my life to be all about. The three words here I just want you to get that we'll talk about just for a second. Hopefully you want to write them down, circle them in your Bible, underline them. You know what's amazing about these Bible translations? You can actually put different colors in them and they'll show up and under on new version and show you what you've done. And you can go back and review. It's pretty cool. But Paul says, I'm pressing toward the goal. I'm pressing toward the goal for the prize. There's a goal, but at the end of the goal, there's a prize. And it's the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So three words, let's talk about it for just a second this morning. The first word I want you to see is the word press, is the word press, press. And for press, you do know, you should know, we all know, we're all adults in the room, whether you're a junior high student or a senior high student or college or now we're adults, is that press takes effort. Press means exertion. Press means something hard. It's coming against me. I'm going to have to press. Press sometimes means it's uncomfortable. It's challenging. It's challenging me. Paul says, I'm going to press. I'm going to press. I'm going to do something out of my comfort zone. I'm going to do something that's challenging. I'm going to do something that's going to require a little more effort than maybe I'm used to doing up until now. I'm going to press. And he says, secondly, press toward the prize. The goal. The goal has a prize. It's gold. It's a goal. There's a reward. There's a reward at the end. Press toward the prize. It's amazing that God actually gives us and talks to us about the goal, and he says there's a prize at the end of the goal. There's a prize. For a lot of us, maybe again, when you take natural things, the prize at the end of the goal for going to school is that you're going to get a BA, or you're going to go and get your master's, and the goal is you're going to graduate, and the goal after that is you're going to get a job, and you're going to get a good job, and you're going to do what God's called you to do in a natural way. And so what's it take? It takes hours of study. It takes saying no to go hanging out with friends. This is what I've got to do right now. Right now. And so listen to me. When it comes to your and my spiritual life, this is never going away. We are constantly having to put ourselves in a press. Pressing past ourselves, pressing past what everybody else wants us to do, maybe what we used to think we could do or can't do, what God is speaking to you, you have to press, and it's going to be exertion, and it's going to be effort. It takes work to just get you and me reading the Bible. Come on, if there's one thing for, listen, can I say pastors and people who aren't pastors, which is most of us in the room. The same thing is true. You talk to anybody. What's one of your most, if everybody's just honest and vulnerable, two of the most hardest things that you find yourself, the devil messing with your flesh, messing with you, reading the Word and praying. Can I get an amen? Amen. Reading the Word and praying. Reading the Word and praying. Come on, somebody. Come on, that's like a little rhyme. We could rap that thing this morning, right? Reading the Word and praying. This is all I'm saying. You can. Don't make me go. Don't make me go there. Don't make me go there. Don't make me go there. I'll get my gold chain on and I'll go crazy here. But you're not depressed. But I like it. He says there's a prize. There's a reward. There's a reward. Man, thank God. Come on, there's a reward. Come on, isn't that amazing? There's a reward. God's okay with rewarding you. Wow. But notice what he says, this third word. He says, press, the goal for the prize. But he says this, it's the upward, upward, that's the word, upward, upward call, upward, upward, upward. So this upward, I just keep thinking about this, upward. So my focus and my attention has to be on upward. I got to have eyes that go up towards who Jesus is, what his call is, what his purpose is. That's a challenge in all of our lives, because all we see with our natural eyes is here. We see low, we see earth, we see problems, we see what the Bible says, but then we go, that's not happening. We desire something, and we see, yeah, but there's this time frame, and it's not happening in my life yet. Yet Paul says our life consistently will be couched around you and I pressing for a prize, and it's upward. Many different translations say at the end of this, an upward heavenly calling. So again, an upward heavenly calling. It's not an earthly calling. It's a heavenly calling. And so just for a second, around what we're called to do here at our church and who we are and what we're desiring for your life spiritually, what I want to do is I want to challenge you this fall, and we're in fall, whether it's 80 degrees out in San Diego or not. Come on, everybody. Leaves are falling. It's going to get cold somewhere else. We call it fall. that this fall, that you take a step to live up. And listen, I'm not talking about run a marathon to live up. Just this fall, that you would take a step to live up and press toward this upward heavenly call. So let me kind of give, I'm just super practical. Let me just kind of give some stuff for you with skin on and just ask you a couple questions, okay? What's that mean practically? Have you been through Growth Track? Have you been through our Growth Track that happens every Sunday right over here? Have you been through that? That's a step for some of you. A step, and we'll talk about that in just a second. If you've been through Growth Track, or maybe you have or you haven't, the question then would ask, have you discovered the purpose for why you're here on the earth? Do you know why God made you? Specifically, do you know your assignment? Do you know His call on your life? And then a question we could ask after that would be then, are you doing anything with that? It's one thing to know, and then, am I doing anything with that? Another step that for some of you need to do, a press to reach a prize, and it's an upward call. Are you in a small group? Are you connected in a small group? Are you doing life with other people here in church? Are you doing that? A step some of you need to take, or are you serving on a dream team? That's what we call everybody who works in the church and has discovered their purpose and are fulfilling what God's called them to do. They show up early. They stay late. We do things in church, outside, outreaches, other things that go on. Have you discovered your purpose? And then are you serving on a dream team concerning God's upward call on your life that requires you to press through? We're not just talking about your natural job. We're talking about, again, what's God's DNA, what's His fingerprint that He's put inside your heart that you are called to do. Do you know it? Are you walking it out? I'm always challenged with my own life about, some things when I read, and just like you, and I've read recently meaning the last couple of years, that somebody had a phrase and it just stuck with me. The phrase was this: What kind of life will you live? What kind of life will you choose to live? It's a very alarming question, because a lot of people think that the life I'm living is a life that was handed to me from my parents or my race or my economics or the country I'm born in or my dialect, or the life I'm living is because somebody else forced it on me, which is counter to what the Word of God says. And so just challenging you and myself along spiritual things this morning, this heavenly calling, what kind of life are you going to live? Are you going to live a natural life, or are you going to live a supernatural life? Are you going to live a God-centered life, or are you going to live a self-centered life? Are you going to live a life for others, or are you going to live a life, only for yourself? Or are you going to live a life of giving, or are you going to live a life of taking? Some things that we should be talking to our young kids about, but seems like generations pass and we forget these things, and then life presses in and we never just keep living up and pressing and looking at the prize and the upward call that God has for us, and somehow things just fall. Really, the list that we gave there could be endless. And maybe you've read the Old Testament like I have, and God comes to Moses. He was leading the nation of Israel, and I believe he says in the book of Deuteronomy, he says, listen, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Anybody remember that? Life and death, blessing and cursing. And God says, choose life, that you and your descendants may live. So what's he saying? He's saying, hey, there's choices that you're going to have to come to grips with that will bring life and blessing, or will bring death and cursing. So let me just kind of say it this way. I don't think that God's up in heaven going, oh, bad choice, death, you're never going to fulfill anything. Oh, bad choice, cursing. No. I believe that's things that we bring on our own self. Even me, man, when if I make bad choice, this was Kimberly. I'm trying to be a no sugar kind of guy right now. Come on, somebody, help the preacher up here. No sugar. But how many know sometimes sugar calls your name? Come on, sweet sugar. Come on. Sugar sometimes will call you in the middle of the night. Shug. And Shug got a hold of me. Kimberly was at random. I don't know what got into my wife, but she made chocolate chip cookies. And listen, the woman can make cookies. Listen, she's graced to make cookies. Snickerdoodles, chocolate chip cookies. What else? Oatmeal raisin cookies. I mean, the woman can make peanut butter. Oh, Jesus, help me. Peanut butter cookies. And come on, snickerdoodles. And you just can't eat one. Come on. And you just can't eat 10. Come on, somebody. When they're hot, they're hot. And so she made chocolate chip cookies, and she made them, and she put them out there by the window. The window was open, and the waft of chocolate chip cookies came through the house, and I was kind of like, man, I was caught up in the flesh. And I made my way, and she was, she had the bowl. We got this big, whatever thing, cooking, whatever, spinning it all around. And I just said, I said, that cookie dough that's in there, baby, the rest of that, just go ahead and leave it. Come on, cookie dough and me like each other. We're intimate. And I said, just leave it. And nobody made me do it. She didn't even look at me. She didn't even give me the you're on a no sugar thing, right? She didn't even try to convict me. Come on, how many know sometimes you're beyond conviction? Come on. Your mind's made up. This is what I'm going to do. I'm getting ready to press through, baby, right now in a wrong way. And so I sat there on Friday, and I ate cookie dough. And then the girl didn't stop there. Guess what she did? She made mashed potatoes and brown gravy. And then, but hang on, it got worse. Because this is stuff I don't do. I just don't do that. And then it went worse. She got the bread maker out, and she made homemade bread. Hot homemade bread. So the brother ate two plates of chicken and mashed potatoes and gravy. Listen, I'm not talking about that old bread we get at the store. I'm talking about thick bread. Listen, I put so much butter on there, it could have choked a horse, let me tell you. Yeah. And then I ate all that. I ate a wad of chocolate chip cookie dough. And then Saturday is my long bike ride. And let me tell you, the first 30 miles yesterday on my bike ride, I was thinking, what did you do last night? Why did you do that? What choice did you make last night? You did not live up. You did not live up. And it's so funny because one of these dudes I ride with, he sent me a text last night after the ride, and he said, it seemed like the first 30 miles you just weren't in it. And I said, I wasn't in it. I was getting ready to puke cookie dough all over the road, man. It was awful. It was awful. Nobody made me. No curse was, I did that myself. Life and blessing, right? Death or cursing. And so I just want to just encourage us that the choices that we make in following and pressing for the prize that's upward is directly opposite between me and you doing something earthly, fleshly, momentarily satisfying. Because what God's got for you, listen to me, God's interested in your long-term well-being. Remember Esau sold his birthright? Come on, for a little bowl of soup right now. Got hungry right now. He needed some biscuits and gravy right now and gave everything up. God's after you pressing for a lifetime. And God's after you and I pressing into Him and getting in relationships and coming to church and finding out what God's purpose is for our life and keep reaching higher and busting through every barrier that we've set for ourselves or maybe somebody set for us personally, that God wants us to do something amazing with our life. Now, with that said, let me just throw this out at you. The upward heavenly calling has a lower earthbound expression. Let me say it again. The upward heavenly calling has a lower earthbound expression. It's got an expression. Let's talk about that in just a second here. Look at the second scripture I told you I wanted to give you from Ephesians chapter 4 in verse 1, the New Century Version. Here's what it says. Paul wrote this as well. He says, I'm in prison because I belong to the Lord. It's interesting. Therefore, I urge you who have been chosen by God to live up to the life to which God called you. Look at this. I'm in prison because I belong to the Lord, but I'm urging you who have been chosen by God to live up. Look at that. Live up to the life to which God called you. Live up to the life. Live up to the call of God, what God's called you to do. You've been chosen. He's writing to a whole church. He's writing to everybody. Didn't say, hey, you know, the Greek people, Hunio or Atrophidus, hey, y'all been called. No, the whole church, everybody's been chosen. Everybody's been called. Now, since you've been chosen, since God chose you, since he's picked you as his own, live up to the life to which God called you. It's challenging. Because Paul's writing this, as you just read it, he's in prison. So me living up to the life what God's called me, or you living up to the life God's called you, has got nothing to do with your current situation or circumstances. He's in prison, and he's still living up spiritually. He's in prison, and he's writing letters. Listen, think with us for a second. We call it the Bible now. The people that got this at the church in Ephesus, a city in Ephesus in Turkey, read a letter. They didn't know the letter was going to be called the Bible. It was just a letter from a man they loved called the Apostle Paul. So when we read this, we got to understand that the circumstance we're in, the challenge we're in, the difficulty we're in, has got nothing to do with the call that God has for us to live up. That we have to keep pressing, we have to keep reaching, we have to keep stretching. There's a goal, there's a prize, it's a heavenly call that God has for us. Now I have to live up to that. I got to live up to that. What's interesting about God is that God doesn't tell you the whole story. before he tells you, he calls you. He calls Moses in the burning bush. Come on, y'all seen that? Come on. Charlton Heston, right? Moses. Moses. Remember that? Come on, y'all watch that certain time of year? Moses. God doesn't talk like that, does he? Huh? Moses. And that little burning bush, that was bad. You know, they need to redo that anyway. And Moses turns aside and he goes and God starts talking to him. And God says, you know, hey, Moses, I've called you. You know, I want you to, you know, go set my people free. They've been in bondage for 400 years. You're going to be the man. But God didn't tell Moses about everything Pharaoh was going to do or not do. God didn't tell Moses about 10 plagues. God didn't tell Moses he was going to have leadership issues. God didn't tell Moses the people were going to complain every single day of his life. God didn't tell him that. God just did tell him to say, I want you to live up. Here's the call. It's up. You're going to have to press. There's a goal. It's called getting all these people out of bondage into the land of promise. You got a part to play. Just do what I've called you to do. There's a heavenly reward. Come on, somebody shout amen to that. Yeah. I mean, David, think about little David. Here's a dude got nothing to do with nobody. He's out keeping his daddy's sheep. And the prophet Samuel comes to town because God told Samuel the prophet's at Jesse's house. And Jesse lines up all his brothers except David. And the prophet says, that ain't the guy, that ain't the guy, that ain't the guy, that ain't the guy. And he says, you got any more boys? And he said, well, was he a little kid out here keeping the sheep? Well, bring that boy up here. And so in the presence of all his brothers, the prophet anoints him with oil, signifying God's hands on you. God's called you. He didn't ask for it. God discovered him. Yet now, he's going to be required to press for an upward call. He's going to be required to. Someone said this, David didn't choose Goliath. Goliath chose David. He came to the battlefield. Read it in 1 Samuel 17. He comes to the battlefield with some cheese and bread for his brothers. And all of a sudden, he hears this dude. And when he's there, something starts stirring in him. What? An upward call. An upward call. The upward call has an earthbound or an earth word, we could say, expression. What God's called you to do is going to have something to do with His voice, His purpose, His desire working through you right here on the earth, right here in Chula Vista. Come on, somebody. So just look on the screen. I wrote this down for us to consider. Again, just really soul searching a little bit. What's the gap between the life you're living versus the unlived life within you? What's the gap? What's the gap between the life you're living versus the unlived life within you? Where I'm at right now, where I'm at right now in my spiritual journey, wherever you're at, if you're young spiritual, you've just taken a first step, you just gave your heart to the Lord, you're new, you've only been around, you know, church or God, you know, your journey's different than mine. Everybody's different here. My journey's 37 years in the making now, a little different than yours. Maybe some people have been serving the Lord longer or shorter. But now, where am I at right now? So what's the gap between the life I'm living right now and over here, the unlived life that's still within me? The things, the desire, the purpose of God, the plan of God, the will of God for my life right now. That chasm here, that gap, that spread, that tension in our life that you say, there's got to be more. There's got to be more than life than just showing up to work or just my family here. What can I do to break free from this part of my life to be more effective? I want to be more fruitful. I want to see God do things in my life that maybe I'm not seeing up until now. This gap right here is what we want to work on. This part between the life I'm living right now and the unlived life that I know is in me. I know God's got something up. I know God's got something more. I know I'm created by God. I know I've checked the box. I'm chosen by God. I know I'm called by God. I know God can draw straight lines with crooked sticks. I believe that, but I've got this chasm. I've got this gulf. I want to hit the target, but I don't quite know how to do it. Let me help you up in here this morning. The number one thing you're going to have to do, let me just throw it out. We could talk for weeks on this. Maybe we'll in the future. Number one thing you're going to have to do, you have to change the way you think. You got to change the way you think. Think about you. Think about the call. Think about God's hand on your life. You got to change the way you think. You got to renew your mind to the Word. Maybe some of you are struggling with that, with a past sin or a past failure or a past issue. How could God use me? He can. Read the Bible. I mean, a brother called Peter cut off a dude's ear when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. Come on. Anybody done that? Probably not. You're okay. He'll use you. You got to change the way you think about God. You got to change the way you think about you. You got to change the way you think about your past. You got to change the way you think about your future. Can't be full of fear. God wants me to go up. God wants me to. I got to see Him. I want to work for Him. But I'm in this tension spot where there's the life I'm living, and I see this over here, but I don't know how to get from there to here. The life God called you to live. Just look here. Is also the life God called you to live down. The life He called you to live up is also the life He called you to lay down. Here's where the gap is, guys. I see. The press for the prize of the upward call is called servanthood. The place from where you're at right now and to the tension and the place that God's called you to be, the unlived life within you, in this middle ground, you're going to have to continually settle the issue that I'm called to live a life of serving other people. If I'm going to press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus, it will require me to settle the issue of servanthood. That I'm here not just to receive, I'm here to be a giver in every realm of my life. When you read the Bible, you'll see regularly, like just the life of Jesus, maybe two things that stick out very apparently, is that Jesus was very humble and Jesus was a servant. It says it over and over. When you talk about humility, you talk about that aspect of Jesus' life. Jesus was born in a manger. You know that we read that. He wasn't born in a house. Jesus rode a donkey into Jerusalem. He didn't ride a chariot. Jesus ate meals with common people, people that were messy, meaning spiritually broken, struggling, hurting. He was right there in the middle of everybody's stuff. Even though He was God, He came down to serve. The Bible tells us that in Philippians chapter 3. I encourage you to read that in chapter 2. So when we talk about humility, humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. So when you think about humility, it's not just, you know, I'm never going to think about myself. No, well, I'm just not going to think about myself less. I'm going to think who God's called me to be, what God's called me to do, but I'm not going to parade that in front of anybody. I'm just not going to have my idea in front of everybody all the time, what I want to do or what I think I should do just for me. I want to live a life of service. The life that's up is also the life that's down. The world won't teach us this, guys. It's not going to get this in school. We're not going to get this in college education. We're not going to get this at the workforce. It's eye for an eye and tooth for tooth. It's climb up over everybody else. But that's exactly the opposite of the God kind of life that God's called us to live up. The upward call of God in Christ Jesus is a life and a lifestyle of serving other people. How we doing there? How you doing there? And again, listen, serving other people in direct connotation with the purpose God has for your life. You can't serve good if you're not serving in your flow, in your grace mix. I can't serve good as a carpenter. The brother can't carpenter nothing. Come on. I can't nail straight. I can't cut straight. I can't build anything with my hands. So I'm going to be useless trying to do anything like that. Come on, I can pull up wheelbarrow, I can hang on a piece of drywall while somebody else figures out. I was the dude in my house in Canada when we stripped out all the, we had We had lath and plaster on the walls. We broke all that stuff with chicken wire. I mean, this was an old house, you know, built in the 1930s. I ripped all that stuff out, and I thought putting drywall was going to be so easy. But come to find out, you know, it was terrible on the ceiling. When I ripped down the ceiling, I was a dude that I had Kimberly help me, and we had two ladders, and I measured it all out, you know, to cut to where the light fixture was or whatever. But I screwed that up, man. Come on, I cut it off on the wrong side. It was brutal. So God's not going to allow me. God doesn't want me to serve Him with a gift that He hasn't graced me doing. So what is your purpose? What is God doing in your life? What are you good at? What can you serve Him to display His glory in your life? That's what He wants to do in your life. Come on, check out real quick. Matthew 18. We all right, everybody? Come on, help me out this morning. Come on, we all right, everybody? Come on. Come on. Matthew 18, look at this now, verse 1 through 5. Jesus talking, and we'll read something in Matthew 20 in a minute. Look at this now. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, Who then is greatest in the kingdom? Who's greatest in the kingdom? Then Jesus called a little child and set him in the midst and said, Assuredly, I say to you, unless you're converted and become like a little child, you by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Wow. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives a little child like this in my name receives me. Wow. Some serious stuff. Who's great? Now look what it says in Matthew 20. Different translation. I don't really know what translation this is, but here it is. If one of you wants to be great, you must be the servant of the rest. And if one of you wants to be first, you got to be a slave of others. Like the Son of Man who did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life to redeem many people. Look at that, many people. So notice, on the basis of both these scriptures, Jesus, as these guys came and said, who's greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Jesus did not say, what are you doing asking me that question? You really want to live a life up? No, that's terrible. That's not what He said. You want to aspire to do something great with your life? Awesome. Everybody in the room, awesome. Great. Fabulous. Stupendous. You want to do something great with your life. You want to do something up with your life. Okay, here's the parameters. Think like a child. Humble yourself like a child. Think less of yourself. Think more of others. Jesus said the greatest in the kingdom of God are servants, not people who are served. And it's interesting about this passage. When you read it, Jesus said, I came to serve and give my life to redeem many people. Look at that. Give my life to redeem many people. I believe the people that we're attracted to that do something excellently serving, they are tapping into the redemptive quality of God Almighty. They sing like nobody's ever sung. That's what God called them to do. And it restores you and I. When we see somebody serving, somebody that's serving kids or whatever, or youth or whatever it is, or ushers, greeters, whatever they're doing, they're like, man, you're just so happy. You, I can see Jesus in you. What are they doing? It's the redemptive quality of God in their life that's emulating through them. It happens by them fulfilling the upward call. So Jesus says, hey, man, you want to do something awesome with your life? Want to do something up in your life? Cool. You got to think like a child. You got to act like a child. You got to humble yourself like a child. The Bible says this in the book of Acts concerning David. And it's interesting that the writer of Acts, who's Luke, goes in Old Testament scripture about King David. And it says this, after David served God's purpose in his own generation, he died. After David served God's own purpose in his generation, he died. Two things there. So plain that he served God's purpose, number one. He served God's purpose. Let me just ask you a question. Are you doing that? Are you doing that? Are you serving God's purpose for your life? Why he created you? Why you're here? Again, his fingerprint on your life. Are you serving his purpose, that upward heavenly call, that thing you and I are to press toward? Or are you doing that? David didn't say served himself. He did that. But secondly, this huge thought is that it says that he served his generation. He served his generation. What an amazing statement. What a life of not success, a life of significance. Not a life of, I got all the money I want. Who cares about all that? What'd you do with your life? Did you help anybody? Did you bless anybody with how God made you? Whatever that is. It says he served God's purpose, number one, but he served his generation. The generation that you and I have to live in right now. The people that are alive right now. What are you doing with that? How are you thinking about that? Well, that's that upward trend, not just earthbound, not just me doing my own thing, but now me taking this upward call and me working it in this natural existence. Are you doing that? Look on the screen, just a couple things to think about. Where you serve is connected with how God made you. Where you serve is connected with how God made you. Again, you're the flow that God's got in you, the call of God on your life. The work you do for God reveals what you've received from God. I believe that. The work you do for God reveals what you've received from God. I've received much so I can do what God's called me to do in this particular area. He's called me to help. He's called me to lead. He's called me to serve. I can serve kids. I can do that. That's God's hand on my life. And then lastly, just something to think about is you can't fulfill God's purpose for your life while focusing on your own plans. You cannot fulfill God's purpose for your life if all you are is consumed with your own plan. And so we go through a list where God's saying and God's stirring in our hearts to do something up that we've got to press through. But then we give God excuses, right? I can't. I won't. I'm too young. I'm too old. I'm too busy. I've got kids. I don't have kids. I've got my own life. I've got two jobs. And all those things, again, we got to balance all that. But at the end of the day, I'm not going to be able to fulfill His purpose if I'm just focusing on my own plans. And so the God model, guys, is Jesus. And it's really interesting, this Jesus life, this is what Jesus did right before the Passover. When you read it in the Gospel of John, he's with his 12 disciples. This is before Judas is getting ready to betray him. And he's eating a meal with his guys. And the Bible says he stands up at the table. I'm sure everybody's kind of looking at him like, okay, what's going on right now? It says he lays aside his outer garment and he girds himself with a servant apron. He pours water in a basin and he gets down and he washes the disciples' feet. Now, a lot of churches think this is a doctrine of the church, that this is some special thing that we do to one another. I'm not going to get into all that. But what he's talking about is that what I'm doing to you is the lowest job that a slave would do. No friends did this to anybody else. And Jesus, somebody that was up, would never do it to anybody underneath them. The underneath them would do it to the person up. But not Jesus. Jesus says, I came to show you what selfless service is. So the up life is down serving. Boy, that's challenging, isn't it? Huh? That's challenging. I'm going to lay my life down so that I can be used by you. I'm going to lay my time down. I'm going to lay my prayer down. I'm just praying about my stuff. I'm going to lay my helping other people down. I want to be used by you. So the press for the prize, the press for the goal, the prize of the upward call is requiring me to do something with my flesh and lay it down. He gets up from the table and he goes down to their feet. Now come on, think with me. The culture of the day, no paved roads. They had some cobblestones and things in Rome. The feet of the people of that culture are one of the most dirtiest things of their bodies. So Jesus shows us, if you're going to be like me and live the up life, you're going to have to get low and you're going to have to get messy. You're going to have to get dirty. You're going to have to take what I've called you and you're going to have to lay it down before my feet. And you're going to have to struggle with things because, let me tell you, serving will mess with you. People will abuse you. People will use you. People will throw, come on, you've been there. So I got to challenge myself to keep pressing for the goal, for the prize, and the gift and talent and ability put inside my life. That's an upward call, a heavenly call. I'm going to get a prize. I want to be faithful. I want to be fruitful. I want to press in. But I'm going to have to be willing to get down and get low and get messy and get dirty and help other people. Come on, let me just give you one more scripture. It's on the screen. It's in the Amplified Bible. My prayer for you, my prayer for us this morning is really here in these last four scriptures. Look at this, Ephesians 5:14. Therefore, he says, awake, O sleeper. Check that out. Awake, O sleeper. Come on, poke your neighbor. That might be them this morning. Come on, awake, O sleeper. Come on, anybody sleeping? Come on, somebody. Awake, O sleeper. He says, arise from the dead. Christ's going to shine, going to make day dawn, going to give you light. So he says, wake up. Come on, live up. Come on, live up. Look what he says in verse 15. Look carefully how you walk. Live purposefully. This is God's design for your life. This is you discovering purpose. Live purposefully. Live worthily. Live accurately. Not as unwise and witless, but as wise, sensible, intelligent people. Come on, so wake up, live up, look up. Come on, discover your purpose. Live with purpose. What's God's purpose? Verse 16, making the most of the time, buying up each opportunity. The days are evil. Don't pass up an opportunity to serve. You never get another opportunity to serve. Yesterday when I got down my bike ride in La Mesa, I came to a street corner. I don't always do this, but again, you follow God, right? You just let God lead you. I follow God. There's a dude there with a sign. Need work. Help me. I'm there. I'm stopped. I got my coffee. I'm sipping on my cold brew. Come on, somebody. And I just sense right there. I look at the guy. He looked at me. Come on. You know the deal. Well, you come and you see those guys. There's no eye contact. Come on. You go. You know it. Come on. You know it. Don't look at their eyes. But I knew what was in me. I knew. So I pull my window down in my truck. Stoplight right there. Right? I'm blessed to be a blessing. I'm going to follow God. And so I got a little thing in my side of my car. I didn't have any cash besides in my deal. I got this little tray next to my truck, in my truck. I put all my change in there. When I get change, I put it on there. So I had, I don't know, about $18 worth of change in there. And I had about $3 $1 bills in there. And so we stand and I put my window down. I said, hey, man. I said, hey, man, Jesus loves you. He said, I know he does. I said, are you saved? Yes, I am. I love Jesus. I said, Jesus got his hand on you. He said, I know he does. I said, well, I'm going to bless you. He says, I appreciate it. So I started reaching in and just grabbing, you know, I just got one hand, right? And so, and he said, I said, give me your hand. So I just, coins. The people behind me, I looked in the mirror, they're going, I was coins, right? I said, are you clean? Because I want to know. Are you clean? Yes, I am clean. How'd you know? I can see it in your eyes. Coins. It's not my money. It's not my serving. It's not my gift. It's not my time. He gave it to me. I know guys that are 57 dead. It's his time. What are you going to do with what God gave you? Buy up the opportunity. Come on, buy up the opportunity. The days are evil. The days are going to try to tell you can't do it. Never going to be it. Quit pressing too hard. Quit giving. Nobody cares. Serve God with the gift he gave you. Press. Come on, somebody. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, press. The prize, and it's upward. Come on, bow your head. Would you do it this morning? Heavenly Father, just pray for all of us in the room. We've used our gifts sometimes and it's been slapped back in our face. Some of us feel frustrated this morning. Some of us feel just agitated with what you called us to do. It seems like it's not being received. But Father God, I pray today that we would just press through every issue in our own lives, that we could see you and we'd hear you clearly, that we would get up from where we're at and we would get down in serving other people, that we'd humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that you then would raise us up. Father God, let our church be known as a church that serves unconditionally. Help us serve our city, O God. Serve our city and show our city and our region that Jesus is alive. We We want to do it. We ask you to empower us as we stir ourselves and we wake up. We wake up. Help us with a heavenly calling today. Speak to hearts right now, Father, in Jesus' name, concerning the heavenly calling and what you've designed them to do and to be. That they won't be satisfied doing the natural calling, although the natural calling probably has spiritual implications to it. That's why they're good at it. But Father, that they would take what you've called them to do and they'd see you, the upward heavenly calling, and begin to serve other people with a downward earthly expression. We ask that today. Come on, while your head's bowed, your eyes closed, we always give you the opportunity, if you're here for the first time, you've been with us many times, right now in just this place of